Are you recording this?
Yes, mate.
Back you up to the bridge, isn't it? So a great suntan.
Put the old white on for that.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're your children. Mm-hmm. And Father, you know where all our hearts are this morning, Father. And I pray, Father, I pray you'll do a work in each one of us. Your work, Lord, not mine. So, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come this day. Father, I ask in boldness to anoint the very words, Lord, I believe you've given us. Yeah. Okay. When we were singing the second chorus, I felt God speak. I was in the crash and he reminded me of a passage. And for those who are not familiar with the book of Esther, Esther is a queen and she's a Jew. And in those days, Esther, in that time, she couldn't come into her husband's presence without invitation. Not be glad things have moved on, just getting on the right side of the ladies in the room. But in this passage, Esther faces the penalty of death, as does anybody else who comes into the king's presence, unless the king raises a scepter. And then that means that she may move forward. Now, if you haven't read the book of Esther, it's not many chapters. It's a great story, a true story, and the Jews still celebrate what happened in this book. But the problem that Esther has is she's queen, and she discovers there is a plot to kill all the Jews. The king is tricked into that, and her mentor says to Esther, I want you to go to the king and basically get him to change his mind. And she points out, well, if he doesn't accept me as I walk through that door, then I'm dead. And these are the famous words. Well, I don't need my book. The famous words are this. Can anyone else tell me?
Such a time as this.
For such a time as this. Isn't that great when a church leader sings it out? You know, in the years that I've known Michelle, I don't think I've ever heard that happen before.
Go on, Michelle. Well done.
Nice one, Michelle.
I've been speaking for 2 minutes. I'm just glad she's still awake. But look, it is for such a time as this. And do you know what? I'm going to challenge you now, and we're not going back from what I'm about to say. You are here for such a time as this. It's no accident. And I want us to stop playing church. I love church. I love this. When I was away at the weekend, somebody pointed out to me that 98% of the people around here don't know God. 98%. And for those that are difficult at maths, that means there are 2 in every 100 that do, and you're one of those 2. How does that make you feel? It's on your watch. One day we stand before the living God and he'll say, what did you do with what I gave you? I don't think we're doing a lot. So I'm going to do a sermon today, and at the end of the sermon, if this is your regular church, I don't often do this, but if God speaks to you, you will have an opportunity today to do something with what he says. And I hope you do. I'm just going to do what I think God says. As you know, I've been away in the big smoke, and we had a great time, and met some wonderful, wonderful Christian. I had lunch with a guy who would, this guy's a nutter, right? Let me just, for the record, say this, right? But he's also an inspiration. He'd been in Indonesia and he worked with MAF for a while. Everyone know what MAF are? Ministry of Aviation Fellowship. When we did the book, Gates of Splendor, think we did it. Right, okay. Perhaps the one comment that everyone agreed when we did that book was, these people had extraordinary faith. Well, he showed me a picture on his phone, they've recovered the plane. And it's in America, where the ministry is based. Anyway, he'd been involved in that, and he wasn't boasting, he was like the most humblest person ever, you know, met for many a year. But he's telling me about a landing that they had to do on a regular basis, and his stories were fascinating. But this story, and then as he gives me the story, God gives me a picture. The story is this. There is one village on the border of Papua New Guinea where they have to fly through mountainous terrain. And the landing strip is at the end. So he said, well, the problem with this is that 2 miles out, you make the commitment. You will either land or you will crash. You cannot do a turnaround because of the shape of the mountainside and everything. So I'm sat there and I'm thinking, that's a big commitment, isn't it? You know, 2 miles out, wheels down, we're going in. If the plane falters, we crash. If the pilot falters, we crash. If anything falters, we crash. And so you've got to, you know, you've got to ask the question, well, what happens if you crash? Well, you're dead. And what? You make the commitment. And then God gave me the picture. It's a bit like doing a Christian walk. And I think we're all right as long as we've got the escape routes. You know, the normal landings where we can do a turnaround, where there are no sharp walls on either side of the plane. But I want to go to a different level. I want to sit in a plane. I want to commit. And if we crash on the way, we crash on the way. We go home anyway, don't we, at the end of the day? At the end of the day, what is death in the Bible? It's just going to sleep. We will go to sleep and we will wake up in His presence. Don't you want to wake up in the presence, in His presence, doing the best you can? You could ever do. The last thing I want to do is to go to sleep and wake up and say, oh, I wish I'd done that. So I'm going to, and this is why I asked Roy to make sure it's going to be on tape. I'm going to announce something now that I know to be true ahead of the time. Okay? Pin your lugs back because this is going to happen and it's going to involve you. God is coming. God is coming to this country. What we're involved in, Matthew and I and Catherine and Kay and others, that's just a part of what God is doing. This country, the UK, is going to go into revival. Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you know why the revivals failed in the past, if there is such a thing we could say? It's because the church didn't do it.
All in for Jesus.
Yeah, all in for Jesus. I invite you today, all in, commit, 2 miles out. It's God's coming. Right, well, there will be an opportunity at the end, Catherine. But if you want to stand up, Chuck, show your suntan off, which is slightly less than this one. But I'm going to give an invitation at the end, Chuck. And I'm going to lay it out. Right? Because standing up is great. Making commitment is great. But something else before we do that. There's something else I want to do. I don't want to play on emotions or anything like that. I'm telling you now, God's coming. And we better be ready. We better be ready. Commitment, 2 miles out. Right. We're going to go look at Deuteronomy. And I've done a little PowerPoint just to show you what's happening within Deuteronomy. If you just put the PowerPoint off, please, Roy. Deuteronomy is, in fact, I'll use the telly, is relevant for us today because it teaches principles that determine the success of our Christian walk. All of us Right? I want a successful Christian walk. I want to go to a new level. It's not that I don't believe God. Of course I believe God. But there's more. There's so much more. In encouraging the people to do what's right, Moses addresses the following significant 9 issues that I've chosen now to do from. Just follow on. Don't forget God. You know, we can come to church and do church. We can do food bank, we can do furniture project or whatever. We can play at it and make it happen. But look, he's here. God in the building. You've heard me say, I'm sorry for being boring. I've been in church one time and been frightened. I remember doing a sermon when the pulpit was there, and I said, look, if we really believe this stuff, we'd come with a crash hat on. Because if he turns up, you're on the floor.
Yeah.
And I want that God. And he's coming.
Yeah.
Not the idol. Look, Kay and I crack up when we go around garden centres. The number one thing in a garden centre that gets up my nose is a Buddha.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, why would people buy that thing?
I don't know.
And we think that's an idol. And in those days, you know, they did all sorts of funny things with bits of wood and everything. But you know, we can make this an idol, the Bible. Let me tell you how we make it an idol. We make it say what we want it to say. We ignore the bits that actually make us feel uncomfortable. So in other words, the living God, the true God, isn't the God. Well, that's an old passage. That one's for somebody else. But the true God is reflected in his true word. And if you believe the Bible, stop messing with it. Get into it. Let it be transforming as it declares itself able to do. It's shocking that the ignorance among Christians, when those people come in here, they need you. You are supposed to be discipling other people. And not many of you are. And this isn't a beat the sheep. This is the reality of what the Bible teaches. And if you don't learn what God wants on the subject, then actually what you do is you make them like you. And that's no good, is it? Next one, please, Ron. Care for the disadvantaged. Most societies in that day, look, if you weren't of a certain standard, they looked down on you. This is the living God who cares for everyone. Why does God care for the down and outs? Absolutely. Did you hear what Kay said? They're made in his image. It doesn't matter who you are. We are all of equal value before God. I don't care what colour, what race, what nationality. And the church historically got that wrong. And I wonder what book they were reading. Because in Deuteronomy, God goes out of his way. God loves everyone. Everyone. No generation stands alone. We do not stand alone. Moses, right? He looks back to the time 40 years earlier when God rescued the people out of Egypt. And then 40 years of wandering and most of them are dead. There's a new generation. Well, look around. Charlie, Ken's girls, Judy's children. 98% out there don't know him. It's not about us. We're just passing through. Can we leave them something, please? When we're gone. Can we leave them a buzzing church? Can we show them how to worship God? Can we show them how to read the Bible? Parents? Bible studies at home? Who's doing it? My kids. I've got a daughter who's pastoring four churches, and she didn't hate me, but she was angry at Dad in the morning because I wouldn't start the car till we started the Bible study. And I said, I own the business, don't matter what time I turn up, you will be late for school, you'll be in detention. The faster she could answer the questions, Dad did the speed limit. If she struggled, we slowed down. Do you know, it didn't take many days before we were on the same page. So the seeds in their lives, you've got one chance. And that applies to grandmas as well. Grandmas. Oh yes. Oh yes. The difficult word, obedience. Do you know, though, just say yes to God. Just say yes. Don't negotiate. Every time you say no to God's word, or to God, your heart hardens. My heart hardens. Each time God asks me to do something and yield a little bit of my life or speak to somebody or whatever God is asking you, if you say no, just a little bit inside goes a bit dead to God's guidance. Just a little bit. And then over a period of time, you don't hear him. You do church, you do what you need to do. You can wing it, you can do your thing. It's a whole different world. You say yes. What's he asking you to do today? If you count them up, in the book of Deuteronomy, the words to hear, anyone deaf? Hello, Anne, can you hear me? Can the rest of the room hear me?
Yes.
Can the rest of the room hear God? Some of you are not sure.
If you listen, well,
50 times he uses to hear. 177 times to do, to keep, and to observe. I think God wants us to pay attention to those sort of things.
Yes.
All right. Personal responsibility for obedience to God must be accepted. I don't do my wife's walk. She doesn't do my walk. She can't use me, and I can't use her. We can do it together. We can help each other, and we do. We can pray together, and we do. We can love each other like God wants us to, and we do. Those days. Personal responsibility. Where's your walk with God? Time to face. That's what I want to do at the end of the sermon. I want you to face up to the truth. I did yesterday. All right. Let's be open for the future. We're pilgrims, though. We're passing through. For that generation, it was Egypt, it was the wilderness, they stand on the border of the promised land, and it's a scary place. There are battles to fight in the promised land. People die. There are victories and there are losses. The losses are because they don't make God's way. But God is with them. God acts among these people. What have the Israelites seen for the last 40 years? And some of you better get this right. That's why I'm going to come round with clips and ears. God's provision, you're off the hook, Chris. God's judgment. Well, that was a quick 40 years, wasn't it? God's love.
God's leadership.
God's leadership. His faithfulness. Who said protection? She's on fire. That's two times today.
Patience.
Told you God is it. Patient. Yeah. You know, all these things. Yes, Tina. Trust. Come on. Forgiveness. Fantastic. When we start, you know, we look. Is any of that around today? Is God's leading around today? Is his patience, is his forgiveness around today?
Yeah.
And do you know what they kept doing? They kept taking it for granted. And a whole generation missed what God had got planned. Don't take God for granted. Oh my word. He's coming.
He is.
He is. You're already there, Chris. I knew you'd be on board and painting. Come on. Last one of the nine. All right. For Israel, this, the covenant between God and the people had to be renewed. There was a time as they approached the promised land that they made this recommitment to God. And I want, if you feel it is right at the end, I want you to do a recommitment. I want to leave the past behind us and step forward into something which is utterly amazing. So that is by way of introduction. Now, I'm aware of the room, and so I've had to do two scriptures before we get to Deuteronomy. And this isn't pointing fingers, so just take a chill pill. Oh no, sorry. I'm one more slide. Well, there's three things. It's all three, right, from the place. Thank you. I was just going to say what great.
I don't know what happened there.
Well, can we go back?
Yeah, we can.
It's important. Selected for God. You have to fire the PowerPoint up there.
Yeah.
All right. Matt's coming to the rescue. Press escape, Roy. All right. Go on. Straight through to chapter, to the third slide.
Yeah. That's on the third slide. There you go.
Right, thank you. Chapter 7, verses 1 to 5 will show that we, or the nation, was separated to God. You will see that as believers, it calls for a separation from the world. That is true then, 3,500 years ago. It is still true today. Next one. We are selected by God. We are chosen by God. Have a look around the room. Hasn't God got a sense of humour?
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Look at the person sat next to him. Why?
Yeah.
Not sure about that shirt, right?
Yeah, don't push the pastor. Do you want to be successful in God? We have to decide what success is, but and that's a good question. But actually, he's given us a strategy for being successful. He wants you to be the person God wants you to be. I'm just discovering me. I love me. Someone said to me, like, walking on air. I am. I am absolutely full to overflowing. I just love God more today than I did yesterday. And I'm discovering how much he loves me. And I've been doing it for 30 years. Oh my word. Can I encourage a step of faith? A step out of your comfort zone. You're going to be surprised. You really are. All right, we finished with that.
Yeah.
Let's move on. When you're ready. Good, okay. I think they've got that.
Just contemplate.
Yeah. Press escape there.
There we go.
You just need to press escape and then it will come out again. See, right, Corinthians chapter 6. You see, look, sometimes people think, well, that was the Old Testament, and God's got to be able to rethink and ease down the conditions. Well, he hasn't. This is what the Word of God says. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? If you are, and I'm doing this for the tape, if you are contemplating a relationship with a non-believer, you are against the Word of God. It is black and white. We had that conversation, Matt. Catherine saved?
Wow.
Good job. She's putting weight on. Just saying.
Growing, yeah.
Okay. What harmony is there between Christ and him? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Do you know, we're down in a meeting room, you can sit and have lunch with a stranger and it's like, wow. Because they've just got a heart for Jesus. Mm. You can meet a perfect stranger on a train or on a bus or whatever, and suddenly you can just, your hearts are singing on the same show. Mm-hmm. It applies right across life, absolutely in every area of your life. However, let's look at the different one. And I'll just press escape, right? That's fine, maybe we've got the message. And then the next one. 1 Corinthians says this. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. This is God's grace, you know. That actually in relationships, here's Michelle, married to a non-believer. That's harmful, Michelle. But God doesn't just turn around and say, well, we'll get rid of them. I know, that you, she's pulling her face. Because, listen, we've had that conversation. But if Leon decided to divorce Michelle, the Bible has a comment on that as well. Mm. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. God's anti-divorce. Absolutely, divorce wrecks society. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. We were talking to the vicar of my late brother. Do you remember this? And you and I looked at each other in the room. And he came out with a comment which is totally making the Bible suit the circumstances. And he said this, well, my dead brother was sanctified through his believing wife. He was sanctified, but he wasn't saved. You're saved one way. Right? You don't get saved through somebody else. The person you get saved with is through Christ. It's a different word, which is why he uses the word sanctified. If you're not saved, you're not saved. Get saved. That's what the Bible says. Come into a living relationship with a living God. Just press escape. It's all right. It's fine. Thank you. Let's do Deuteronomy. We'll go through it fairly quickly. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, chapter 7, verse 1, you are entering to possess, and drive out before you the many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Didn't do bad then, did I? That was all right. That was good for me. Yeah? I've been practicing for about a year on this passage. The seven nations larger and stronger than you. Sometimes we face some difficult times. To get the land from the enemy requires a battle. Do you know when this country goes into revival, it will go into revival when the church does the praying.
Right.
Yeah. It'll go into revival when the actual people in church are revived.
Yeah.
That's you and I.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? It won't happen unless we are the ones that make it happen. That's a challenge, isn't it?
It is.
And I don't mean just like for for a week or so. I mean, a complete turnaround of everything we actually believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's line it up with God.
Yeah.
Let's get serious. Mm-hmm. 98% don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing the driving out? Who is doing the driving out? The Lord your God. And doesn't Ephesians tell us that actually our battle is in the heavenly realm?
Yeah.
It's not against the people. It's against the forces of darkness. And how do we wrestle with the forces of darkness?
Read the Bible.
We pray.
Pray.
Yeah. Come on. How do you think Israel felt when they knew they had to do this? Happy? Very?
They'd be scared.
They've got to believe. God hasn't made it. Do you know what God could have done? He could have said, right, okay, I'll get rid of them all now, and then you just come in. Why didn't he do that? Yeah. He could have done that, and he could have just said, well, they're gone. Just go in and live happily ever after. Job done. But actually, God's never wrong. So by leaving them there, he's teaching and growing them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when we do the battle, we grow?
Yeah.
I cannot think of one battle I have done, one surrendering to the word of God, which when I look back over the 30 years, I think, do you know what? I grew through that. That was a difficult time, Lord. It was a difficult time when my brother died.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, none of us like that. It was a difficult time when I got divorced. But I look back and I think, do you know what? I grew. I grew because I kept my focus on God. Next verse, please, Rob, quickly. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, who's doing the delivery?
God.
He's doing the... And you've defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? That sounds really harsh, destroying seven nations, which will include men, women, children, babies, everything. That is your God and my God. Why? You know, non-believers take passages like this and they say that that's the God you worship? The one who would do that? Yeah. There are reasons why he does it. And look, these are evil nations. History shows this. These are nations that were so into bloodthirstiness, child sacrifices and all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff. They were totally pagan.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a way. But make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. And maybe just say it on the front row. If you've got an illness, if you've got a cancer, you want it cut out.
Mm-hmm.
You want it removed. You don't want to live with it, do you? Don't intermarry with them. Don't give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. And this is the reason. For they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And you know what? If you know your Old Testament, that's exactly what they do. They ignore the word of God, and for generation after generation, they miss God's calling. You don't know better than God. And then you will know God's discipline. The Lord's anger will burn against you and he'll quickly destroy you. And he did. They went into captivity. So this is it. He gives it in black and white. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. Have absolutely nothing to do. You are light, they are dark. Do you know, I sat next to a lady while we were away, and I had lunch with her, and she was telling me she's married to a non-believer. Four kids. And I said to her, so what church do you go to? No, I don't go to church. He wouldn't like it. I do my church at home, she said. What do you think I said? Get to church. We're still friends, but, you know, wouldn't think of anything else. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his possession, his treasured possession. And that was to the nation of Israel. Do you know that's you? We're chosen by God. Now, look, does God make mistakes? Let's do the baby steps. Let me hear it.
No.
Never makes a mistake. We've established he's got a sense of humour. But he doesn't make mistakes. Do you know, I chose Kay for as my wife.
Good choice.
I agree. And she, you know, I interviewed her. For the position. You do, don't you?
Yeah.
You do.
You do. Yeah.
She passed. Flying colours. Do you know why she passed the interview? I'll get into trouble later. I saw Jesus in her eyes. And that's what I told the kids. I thought, she just saw Jesus in her eyes. I saw a lady chosen by God, anointed by God, and oh no. If you're going to get married, interview them. Because they interview you. Oh, and he wants the Israelites to understand this. The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were numerous. Well, there's about 2 million of these people, but so what? The other nations were a lot bigger. It wasn't because they were a mighty army. It was because he decided. It's called election. And it's a funny thing, but God just, because God's God, I'll have that one. And that one will respond. So he did with the nation. He said, look, you're the fewest lot. Do you know God's always doing this? It's a principle God does. He takes the weak things, the foolish things. I mean, well, I've just got a new job. How foolish is that? Well, actually, it would appear to be from God. And the reason is, but it was because the Lord loved you. Loved you. Do you know that God loves you? All right. Most of you in the room are just going to say yes. Right. Hear what I am saying. You haven't got a clue. You haven't got a clue. If you had a clue, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I am being truthful. If you've got a clue how much God loves you, then you will love him back. You can't help but do it this way. Because actually the Bible says we love him because he first put on John. You'll love his word because that's where you see God so much. You will yield to his word. And we like, you know, oh, I go to church and God loves me and I can raise my hands. And no, that's not what I'm talking about. No. That's like, let's call it public love. Do you know, do you want to find out how much God loves? Blow your eye. Blows me away. My prayer is that you will join me on this journey of discovery. Because at whatever level each one of us is at, there's more. There is more. More of him. And less of us. Less of us. It reminds them of the past, but the Lord, not because the Lord, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors. And he did, he promised Abraham and all the way through that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Remember, the past is good. What has God done in your life in the past? How has he brought you through? That's why testimonies are so powerful. I don't mean testimonies. I had a cold last week and look, God's healed me. Look, let's just leave the baby stuff. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. That's a statement, isn't it?
Yes.
He's not like you and me. He's God. If you get that in your head, the next time you are doing anything that you shouldn't be doing, remind yourself who's looking. It helps. It really does help. He's the faithful God, and he keeps his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by their destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him.
Wow.
Do you know, I sometimes watch on the television and there's some strange people on and they're blaspheming God and you think, well, one day, mate, you're going to wake up in his presence. You're going to know the truth. Okay. This is not a game.
No.
Right? Is it?
No.
It's a living God. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, the decrees, and the laws I give you. You see the word commands?
Yes.
If in your Bible it says suggestions, can I ask you to get a pen and rub it out and put commands in? These aren't good ideas from heaven. They are instructions. If you pay attention, perhaps you will, perhaps you won't, to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your ancestors. Israel doesn't keep covenant. In fact, in 2 Kings it tells of a king Josiah who, when he's been reigning, they discover the book of Deuteronomy. And they read the book of Deuteronomy, and the king tears his robes. He repents. He calls for the nation to turn back to God. And because of what he does, and did, the nation is saved till the end of his reign. Each generation must discover for itself the importance of that book. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. This is God's promise. Any numbers increasing on the second row? No. He will bless the fruit of your womb. That's a good idea. The crops of your land and your corn, your new wine and the oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, and the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you. God in every area of our lives. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or your women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without you. Do you feel blessed today?
Yes.
Some in the room do.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know, look, that doesn't mean some people don't go through a difficult time. Right? And some people go through a very difficult time. This isn't prosperity preaching. But as a general rule, right across all of his children, we are supposed to be more blessed.
Mm-hmm.
What that blessing looks like is something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, please, Lord. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt. And there were some really horrendous diseases there.
Mm-hmm.
But he will inflict them on all who hate you. And you can't take a passage and say because somebody is ill, we've done these before, but actually they're out of favour of God. We live in a fallen world. And for them, God was making a promise. The reality is they didn't keep it. They didn't do what God asked them to do. So he reminds them, you must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity, do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. What's a snare?
Trap.
Actually, they're horrible things. If you know what a snare does to an animal, it's horrible. You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? You might have some difficulties in your life. And you think, how on earth can I get rid of this problem I'm struggling with? Anybody want to come up with a plan before we look at the next verse?
Pray.
Stand firm. Get into his word. What did Catherine say? Give it to God. Yeah, can I remind you of that? Okay. Let's see what God says. Don't be afraid of them. Remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. Easy, Alan, answer is this. We look at the problem so often. We look at everything so often. Oh, look at this. I'm struggling in this area. God's strategy for success is look up. Look at him first before you look at anything else. Every day, the beginning of the day, start your day with him. You'll be amazed at what that will do to you. Get on your knees before God if you're able to kneel down. Ask God, the God, to fill you with his very spirit. He wants to do this. He loves you. Ask him to reveal his love, just how much he loves you. Suddenly, real problems, and there are real problems, they just looked at in the right light. It will work, I promise you. It's there. And remember what God has done for you. Next one. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. Remember. Do you know it? Remember what you were like before you became a believer. I do, I didn't like myself. Remember. 16 times in Deuteronomy. That. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Whatever struggles you have, in God you can overcome. I will not allow you, if you talk to me, to hide behind anything. I will simply point to God. God first. Moreover, the Lord your God will send a hornet, that can't be good, among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Believed to be, it is a real a creature obviously, but believed to be panic and fear. And there were. When Israel goes in Joshua, the next book, already the reputation precedes them. Imagine going out there with boldness. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great to have conversations with people and say, oh, I don't believe in God. Well, let me tell you why you should. Yeah. Let me just explain some facts about this God. Mm-hmm. And when you've read your book, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Just a quick punt for the new job. We need 2,500, 600 counsellors. Put your hand up if you want to be involved. Put the hand up the rest of you, because you're going to be. Okay, good. You just told me you love God. Why wouldn't you want to be involved? This is the beginning of something wonderful happening in our community, and you are going to be involved. If you are alive on the day, I want you there. If you're dead, I want to see the note. Just show her on record, it's on tape. Go back one, please. The Lord your God will drive out these nations before you, little by little. And sometimes, you know, when we have struggles, sometimes when we're struggling, we think, oh Lord, I want this rid of. Well, if he's leaving it there, he's leaving it there for a purpose. And it's a step of faith. It's an actual turnaround where you say, do you know what, Lord? When you're ready, this will be overcome. But in the meantime, with your grace, whatever struggles that I'm struggling with your grace, we'll get through this. Mm. Because I'm looking at you. Mm. There's no hiding place. Mm. I'll not be allowed to eliminate them all at once or the wild animals will multiply around. It takes years for them to get rid of. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you. Read the last page in your Bible. We win. We do.
Yeah.
Victory is promised. Mm. Next one, one more. You will give them their kings into your hand, and you will wipe out the names from under the heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you and will destroy them. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. No compromise, church. Mm. No compromise. Clean up our lives. Mm. When revival comes, there are going to be people in here looking at you. You are reflecting Jesus. Let them see the real one. Mm-hmm. Don't covet the silver, the gold on them, and don't take any of it for yourselves, or you'll be ensnared by it. Mm-hmm. Most detestable to go on. Right, press escape, we'll come out of that. And this is where I want to lead up to. Come on, Roy, share.
There you go.
Titus 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Every single person is offered salvation. God sends no one to hell. And yet, unless we do something, how many percent outside? 98% are destined for eternity without God. That should do something. And if it doesn't, pray my prayer with you. Lord, will you give me a burden for souls? Mm. I don't know what Matt thought, but the people we shared these last few days with have a burden for souls that embarrasses me. They will come, they will pour out their lives, they will pour out finances to save people they may never meet again. They'll be gone. It'll happen on the 6th of June, and then on the 7th and 8th, they'll be pulling out. Mm. And yet, you know what? 30 years ago, his dad did the same. And there are people who were saved on that night still going on with God. There are people in this church who were there. I want people, if God doesn't come back before then, to be writing about what happens in Sheffield in 2020.
Amen.
And across the UK. Amen. Books written. And then you and I can say this, we were there. Yeah. Even the ones who don't want to be there are going to be there. Yes. Unless you're dead. I've got no. Can we not? Yes? Can we be excited?
Yeah.
Come on, Jesus.
Yes.
Come on.
At least one of you are. Or two. I think he's going Pentecostal. Right, look. God's grace. What does grace mean?
Favor.
Right, okay. The undeserved favour of God does something in our lives. It teaches us to say no. Yeah. Try the word no.
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 All right.
No.
Okay. I heard Tanya. Now, she's either got a really good voice, or some of you didn't say it. Say no.
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 There we go. It says no to ungodliness. It says no to worldly passion. You are bought at a price. God wants you to live for him. It's great fun. I even wore a jacket and it surprised Matt. Oh, and Catherine. Forget all the teaching, Alan had a jacket on.
I suppose that's all you wore.
Says no to ungodliness, no to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. And this is a difficult age. Mm-hmm. You put the telly on and you're bombarded. You're picking your phone up all the time and you're bombarded. This is a really difficult age. And the grace of God will teach you to say no. Mm-hmm. If you want to. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now I'll tell you something which struck me. Titus, a pastor in Crete. And he uses a very strange word. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So he's talking about his ministry, and he's waiting for God to put an appearance in. Do you understand that? See what I just said? He's going about his ministry, pastoring a church, showing people how to live, teaching the word of God, and he's waiting for the appearance of God. Isn't that what we're doing today? Isn't that what we're doing?
Yes.
We're waiting for the appearance of God.
Yes.
Next verse, please. Just press escape on that one. In the next one.
The mouse gone. Where's the mouse?
You got a problem?
Mouse has disappeared.
Heaven's on standby, Roy.
Yeah.
Find the mouse.
There you go.
Building suspense.
Gonna be good this one.
No pressure, Roy.
Yes. There you go.
No, wrong verse.
No.
Go to the one before that, Roy.
Peter.
Two Peter. One Peter, 2 9. Sorry.
There you go.
2 Peter 2 9. Yeah, 2 Peter 1 9. But you are a chosen people. Okay? Can you say that? Let's personalize it. I am a chosen person.
I am a chosen person.
A royal priesthood.
A priesthood.
A holy nation. What does holy mean? Set apart. Set apart for a purpose, by the way. Don't forget the second part of it. You are a holy nation set apart for a purpose. What's the purpose? We're set apart for his purpose. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Hold on, Roy. Once you were not a people, and that's true, isn't it? But none of us are born Christians.
No.
But now you are the people of God. You are the people of God. If a revival's going to come, it's going to come because of you and I. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. What's mercy? Fantastic. Not getting what we do deserve. And that's good news, because we're sinful. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Make a choice. Use the grace of God. Use the Spirit of God. Use the power of God in your life to not slip up. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. Look at this. Live such good lives among the pagans. Live such good lives amongst the 98% out there.
Amen.
That though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glory. This is it. This is the climax. Glorify God on the day he visits us. 2020. I believe with all my heart. I don't believe. Actually, I now know God will be visiting his people. Wow. If I'm wrong, then I'm not a prophet. Right? That's the deal? So that's Deuteronomy, right? And that's the Old Testament prophets, Ken. Right? But I'm not wrong. You can sack me. Please do. You can sack me if I'm wrong. Right? You go out on tape. In fact, I'll resign. Mm. God is coming.
Mm.
Are you ready? Because if you're ready, the next verse is the end of the sermon. In Ken's terminology, we're landing the plane. And I'm going to make a challenge now. Let's put the next verse in, please, Rob. Thank you. Okay. And my people are called by my name. Who are they?
Us.
Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And the promise of God is this: then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land.
Amen.
There have been people for many years praying for revival in this country.
Yeah.
People who we don't know the names, many of them, but they've got a burden for souls that embarrasses my lack of burden. And my prayer is this: Lord, will you give me a burden for people I don't even know? I want that to challenge the room. And this time we're going to do something different in this church. I'm going to embarrass you. If you want to make a response to God, not to me, I'm not interested really. If you want to make a response to God, then you do something different. You come to the front while the musicians are doing this next song. And you do that. You make a decision, you draw a line in the sand, and you say, I want to be in on this, God. I hear what you're saying, I need to be humble. Do you know these people we spent the last couple of days, and Kay said to me, what were they like? And I said, they're the most humblest people I've ever known.
They're beautiful.
They are beautiful, Matt, aren't they? Do you know that?
They've flown in from all over the world.
Absolutely.
And they care for the people of Sheffield and the UK.
Look, I can feel the Spirit of God. They care. Mm-hmm. Do we?
Yeah.
And if we don't, then we're wrong. Mm-hmm. We're wrong, and I want God to break our hearts. Mm-hmm. I've got no more words. Come on, let's worship God. But then, look, if you want to come out and you pray to God and ask God, repent of what our attitudes have been like. I did this yesterday. You need to repent. You need to get on the same page as God, because God is coming.